We've been going through Mark. If you've not been with us, we're up to chapter 13, and we're going to read through that chapter today, and I'm going to share a couple of thoughts on that. It's a privilege to be able to preach today. I've also got a slideshow. I don't know if we can get these lights off, but I wanted just to share with you some news from the teens over the summer. Yeah. We've had an incredibly eventful summer in a great way. I don't know if we can get these lights off, but we're going to just show you. This was something that happened at the beginning of the summer, and I just want to give you some... Just a bit of insight to keep you guys involved. Think about what our teenagers are up to on these summer breaks. I don't know if we can get the main lights off as well. That'd be great. Lovely. So this was over in Stockholm. Joe and myself took a group of teenagers. We took 15 baptized teens and 2 non-baptized teens over to Stockholm to be part of the Nordic Teen Camp. That involves Norway, Denmark, lots of different countries. And it was called Get Owned. And this is on a hillside. We're worshipping. It started in Stansted. Gatwick. We were kept waiting for 4.5 hours. But teens are just great at keeping themselves occupied. And we had a great time. This is my wife doing some drawing. It was very cultured. You got to make bracelets and bangles. It was very cultured. Lots of art. The Nordics, Sweden, they're very very cultured race. We did lots of worship. There's a guy called David who does the song lead. And then there's Tosin banging a bit of a rhythm on the side of the centre that we were using there. We did loads of great worship out there. This was the lake near where we were. It's a place called Lida. You could drink the water from this lake. I mean, it was a bit of paradise. I've got to be honest, a bit of paradise. These some young teens, guys from, I think they're from the Copenhagen church. We were just throwing ourselves in. It was great fun. There's Tosin and Sam Flay there, just sharing a bit of peace on the mountaintop. And there's our regular dinner there, so that's really good. This is them learning some line dancing. We did a bit of line dancing, but quite difficult. This lady is called Rita at the front. She is Joachim's wife. Okay, I'll show you a picture of her later. But she came down and taught us some stuff, and that was fantastic. This is in the church in Stockholm. So the church is about 120, something like that, members. About our size, but they've got like a double section upstairs, and that's all our teens and all the Nordic teens on stage, and they led the service. I mean, they did a great job. Tosin did his communion, and they sung these incredible songs. They shared their chants. They had these big kind of teen chants we've been doing all week, and they were just so encouraged. There's Zainab in the middle. This brother on the right is called Levi, and he's the only teen baptized in Finland. He's in the Helsinki church. His brother hopefully will get baptized soon. There's Rachel from the Surrey church. It wasn't all hard work. We had a bit of fun. We did a tour around. There's Alex. Alex came. Alex Cameron's not baptized, but his mum is Danish. So he's very familiar with the Nordic ways. So he came. It was fantastic. There's another brother, Gabriel, who came as well. And there's Zay, another sister. We went to a baptism in the park afterwards. His brother's baptized. This is Chris on the right. Chris Reed and Kim, his wife. Next to Alex, they were just here just saying thanks so much for coming. They so appreciated a group of teens going over there and serving. They want us back next year. They want to come to us. It's just great, this relationship we're building with the Nordic churches. Just a bit emotional at the end. It was a bit emotional to see. Now there's Joachim there. So there is Joachim. I had never met Joachim, all right? I know, it was a shock. And I was like, you are the legendary Joachim that everybody in the southeast talks about. And this is his wife Rita and his 2 girls. He's got a business over there. He's doing great. He's in the church doing really well, just serving there. But he just sends love to everybody. We went through the list of, I think, every single brother in the church. Brother, and it was just fantastic, okay? So that was Norway. Now, that was Stockholm, the Nordic church. Moving back more locally, that was at the beginning of the summer. And then this is teen camp for the UK teens. And this happened about 10 days ago. We went off to Oxford, and this theme was Medal of Honor. And here were some of the speakers. So we had Andy and Tammy Fleming down there. There's Tammy praying with Tryphena, because Tryphena was one of the speakers too. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, she was. Yes. Because Tammy was fellowshipping with her. She said, could you share your testimony as part of my message? And that's what Tryphena did. And there's Ian also did some great classes for the Christian teens. And there's Linda paying careful attention. So lots of Bible study going on. Lots of discipling, time shared together in D groups. There's Lillian in the middle serving. Without these guys, it would not happen. I mean, these guys, they're like the pillars of Team Camp, and there's Andy Frost. Here's this is a talent show. They're just having loads of fun here. It was an Olympic themed talent show. That's a lovely photo. I just thought that's a lovely photo. Mum and son. Nathan was in my group. We were doing the washing up that day, so we just took over a little bit. There's some more faces. There's Jesse, Yutunde, there's Tari and Aris just queuing up for their food. Did a lot, a lot of that. And then this is the worship. So we have a barn there where this is some of the worship going on, and you can see some faces in the crowd there. All teen led. The teens led all the worship, most of the activities. I mean, apart from the preaching, they were pretty much in control of camp. It was a phenomenal camp to see them raised up as leaders. This is the party. So down below this, they have a big party there, and they get all these glow sticks, paint their faces, and throw them around, and it's just great fun. Some of the activities, loads of sport, loads of silly Olympic games, the Goofy Olympics it was called, and there's Kyle getting covered in, was it porridge? I don't know what he had to eat. It looked pretty awful. There's Jonathan getting a load of water over somebody. I don't know if that's going over. And this was like, they do a night game called the Wide Game where you have spiritual quests. You've got to find out, you've got to be, it's like the team that's most humble wins, basically. But they don't know they're being humble. Like, there's lots of sneaky ways of just figuring out. And they're getting soaked here by Alex from Birmingham. Lots of washing up they have to do. And I don't know what Naomi's doing here. There's some bandage. I don't know. They had some toilet paper. I wasn't in that activity, but it was all just crazy. There's try this. This is the only way to disciple Tari. Accept from the Spirit. There's a lovely one of ours. There's a lovely one. Just a few faces from camp. That was you can't see Naomi there, but she's got Go Grenada on her face. She's got Go Grenada because it was Olympic theme, so she dressed up in her colours. There's my wife getting down there, doing some serving there, and we weren't innocent of the serving there. There's Grace, you can't really see Grace there. There's an old face there, Daniel. He's in the south doing well down there. This is Gabriel on the right. There's Barry. Barry organises the camps. Whenever you see Barry, if you're a parent, you just need to go up and say thank you. Just say thank you. Just say thank you, Barry. That's it. And Gabriel got baptised at the end of camp. He was the other non-Christian we took to Sweden. He's from Sweden, and going to Sweden compelled him to become a Christian. I mean, it was that. He had such a great time, and he got baptised in a canoe at the end of camp. I'm not even going to describe that, but that's what happened. And that's another interesting one there. Interesting photo there. And there's Alex again. And I'm nearly done. There's Bradley with his Ghana top on. Very proud. And there's a nice one of those guys. And that's below him. All right, let's get into the Bible, guys. Let's have the lights on. But it's been a great summer. Parents, start saving now. Get ready for next year. Let's get everybody there, so we can just help our teenagers be the best they can possibly be for God. The title of the message today is Focus on the Goal. Focus on the Goal. We're going to start reading in Mark, chapter 13, verse 1. Let's say a prayer first. Let's just go to God and thank God. Father God, we just want to thank you for the great highlights of the summer. I know we don't even have mother and daughter retreat photos up here. I know we don't even have preteen camp photos up here, God. I know there's so many more experiences that our children and our parents have been having, God, and that this church has in just a summer period, God. Thank you so much for looking after each and every one of us, God. Lord, the people are coming back from their holidays safe and sound. The Carney's back, the Miller's back, God. Thank you so much for many others who've just travelled and come back by your grace, God. We thank you so much for all that the servants of the church are doing. People like Barry, the elders coming in. I know we saw the Agabaks there and the Farrells there serving a lot of teen camp, God. It's just great to see how your church is being built up, God, by your power in your Spirit, Father. We thank you so much for this, Lord. Bless our time as we look into the Word now. Help us have open hearts, God, as we look at your Word now, God, and help us take away something poignant, something for us, God, to change and be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So Mark chapter 13, maybe a couple more lights. Oh, that I should be able to read the text. That's okay. Okay, verse 1 of Mark 13. As he was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Peter, James, John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they're all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand up before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down or enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning, when God created the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'Look, there he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible. So be on your guard." Even so, when you see these things happen, you know that it's near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house, puts his servants in charge, each one with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. I mean, this is quite a heavy passage on warnings for us as disciples. And he spent a lot of time warning non-Christians, those outside the church. Jesus spends a bit of time now talking to those inside the church, the elect, about that you might be inside the church, but hey, pay attention right now. Listen up. There's some things you need to be aware of. You know, this focus on the future, we've got 2 points today. We'll talk a little bit more about the future in the second point. But if we get a picture of the future, it helps us in the present. If we know where we're going, it helps us. If we know the destination, it will help us in our path to get there. Our first point today is material greed versus spiritual need. It's very interesting that in verse 1 and 2, the disciples, they're following Jesus, they're doing all they can to stay by him, but their minds and their hearts can be elsewhere. They walk out of the temple grounds, and the temple was being refurbished, if you like, at this time by Herod. Since Ezra had been rebuilt in Ezra's time, this is like 500 years later, and Herod's kind of doing out to please the Jews. It's not for a sense of worship. He just wants to appease a group of people. And he's got some fancy building works going on.
The disciples straight away, well, look at the architecture here. Just look at the design. Look at these stones. Look how beautiful they are. You know, Jesus is unimpressed. He says, this is nothing. It's going to get smoked. This stuff is going to fall down. Now, there's a commentary going on here about the destruction of the temple, but it's a reminder for us of Jesus' continual commentary about the importance of the spiritual world versus the physical world and how easy it is for us to get distracted. You know, many of us have it the wrong way around. We can have this desire, this greed for the material rather than seeing our need and going after the spiritual. So many of us get focused on the wrong goals, the next pay rise, the latest car, the bigger house, the extension. That our mind and our heart can be taken away from actually looking and listening to Jesus himself. You know, let's look back at Matthew chapter 6. This is a current theme in Jesus' teaching. In Matthew 6, pick it up in verse 19. We've got to make sure we don't have goals that are not goals at all, that are fake. You know, all these things we talk about, cars, wealth, houses, they will all be destroyed. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You know, we need to have one master. And if our master is Jesus, if that's what we say our master is, then we should despise the other. Not have a friendly relationship with the other. Not be pally-pally with the other. But we should actually despise one. And we see the world doing this all the time. We see, in some ways, they teach us a lesson. They go after money, they go after materials, and they despise spirituality. They despise teaching of share your wealth, of give to others, of charity first. And generally there's a holding on to our wealth, and what we need, we'll get. Well, shouldn't we be the same the other way? Shouldn't we be loving Jesus with everything and despising any kind of materialism in our life? You know, 1 Timothy 6, let's turn there. The Bible is really clear on this, and I feel it's a big lesson we need to learn. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You know, how do you think, I want to open it up, how do you think materialism can affect us? How do you think this desire for material greed can affect us? Anyone, open up for the congregation. Yeah, Claire. Right, so we can put our effort and our time into that rather than God's kingdom. Yeah, is that Sam at the back? Right, so we can become self-focused. Fantastic. Yeah, at the back as well. Right, so we go after the next paycheck and then, oh, with the next, absolutely unfulfilled. Yeah, Joe. Right, so it's short-term thinking it can lead to. Yeah, Dunny. Right. Sure. So not necessarily even going for more, but just being consumed with the physical world and our needs as they are. Fantastic point. Yeah, Marvin. Right. Absolutely. Great point. Yeah, two more. Let's have 1-8 and Tim. Yeah, Jen. Okay. 1-8. Right, right. So that is that like I was saying, where we love one and we kind of like the other. And there's that compromise can come in. Fantastic. One more here. Was that Temi? Right, we can feel self-sufficient, so we don't see our need for God because everything's comfy. Fantastic points. I mean, you know, the summer holidays for me, I'm a teacher, and so I've been off for 6 weeks. I'm back on Tuesday, brace myself, and it can get a bit comfy in the summer, let me tell you. But we decided over the summer we're going to try and declutter the house. We just felt we went for a job interview in the early part of the year for a ministry position. And if we'd have got the position, if it all worked out, it didn't work out, we'd have had to move quite quickly. It would have been moving church. It would have been. And we were like, afterwards we sat down, we went, are we even ready? You know, are we ready to just move, to just get up and move? And it made us think about this, you know. And we, you know, I've been at home over the summer, I've been doing a bit of DIY, a few pictures up here, a few things up here. And, you know, and again, we'd sit down and go, now, what is the point of this? Now, it's good to be hospitable, amen? We need to have houses and homes that we can welcome people into, and that's a good thing. And it's good that our house, we try and make our house, you know, ministry workable, so we can have a Bible study there, we can have people, we can have the teens come and meet at our house. We try and think like that, but it's still very easy to be focused. And some of these things have gone through our heads. Sayings like this, this might be the last house we live in. You know, I don't really want to move again. You know, I could never leave this house. The schools are good in this area. Our children were actually born in our house. We had home birth. So there's an attachment there. Oh, we've had some great baptisms in the garden. You know, I think of Ensa recently. You know, there's this, you know, how are we doing with that stuff? There used to be a saying in the church, we had, you know, go anywhere, do anything, give up everything. Has that become a cliche? Is that like, well, that's a bit old school for me? I think that's a fairly biblical description of what our lifestyle should be. You know, prepare to move. Be prepared to do anything for the kingdom. And, you know, give up everything is Luke 14. That's written across the Gospels. You know, it's arguable you could do the first two without the third one. You know, it's that we've got to have that heart of giving up. But, you know, how are we doing with that? Can you honestly say God and not money is your master? Can you honestly say that? How are you doing in sacrificial giving, like Jesus commanded? I am so proud of the church in giving to our church in Dhaka, in Bangladesh. For those of you who don't know, we support our church in a Muslim nation over there that's itself planting another church this year. And we took up, I think we took over 7,000, over 10,000 now, £10,000 to go and give to that church over there. I mean, what a blessing. What a blessing to be able to give. I know of some people who actually gave to that, and they've already received a blessing from that. Now, no, they didn't give to receive the blessing, amen? But they gave, and God blesses, because that's a promise in His Scripture. Did you give? Have you received the blessing? You know, were you part of that? We've got to have hearts that really give, because that is the call that God gives. You know, what occupies your time and your energy, your thoughts? Do you have possessions, or have your possessions started possessing you? You might say, well, how can that happen? We were in Somerset yesterday, okay, seeing my brother. We've been down there for a couple of days. We went to Morrison's. This guy comes out of the shop with a tattoo on his neck. I've never seen a tattoo like this. It was a barcode on his neck. I mean, that's pretty visual, right? I mean, you know. Now, maybe it's a funny joke. I don't know what's going on there. But I see teenagers with night ticks tattooed on their legs, on their feet, on their arms. I see earrings like Adidas and, you know, like you know, we're kind of even labeling ourselves with the products that we buy. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. But it's out there. These possessions can possess you. You know, I see this bunny rabbit symbol that is the symbol of a pornographic magazine appearing on children in my school. I'm a primary school teacher. I teach 11-year-old and under, and I see this little bunny rabbit. Now, they might not even know what it means, but that conditioning and that possession is happening today. Are you awake to the challenges? This is one of the biggest challenges the church faces. We might think, wow, you know, well, there's sin going on, and, you know, Islam is on the rise, and we want to just share this and this. Hey, materialism will take us all inside the church. It could take us all away, like that. It can get us leading ungodly lives, having spiritual pollution that materialism brings. You know, teens, let me talk to you. Fashions come and go. We're all seeing 80s fashions back. I wore luminous socks in the 80s. I went to the market and I got different Illumina socks to just I don't know why. I mean, that was and big bold statements on T-shirts. That was what we did. Now it's all back. Hey, and it'll come round again maybe in 25 years' time again. You know, you're going to get old and you're going to get ugly, teenagers. I mean, ugly. You're going to have wrinkles. You're going to start crouching over. You're going to have a limp. Not a limp like you walk on the street with. Not one of those bow limps. I'm talking like a proper physical limp. And we think, wow, yeah, I want to, well, as a teen, yeah, I definitely want to live old. I want to grow old graciously then. It's not even about that. It's not even about not having a short-term mindset, having a long-term mindset. It's about having an eternal mindset. Because even that, you might think, well, yeah, I could live with that. Growing old, yeah, I want to be a bit wise. I see myself becoming an elder. I might be 17 now, but maybe in a few years. But it's about something far beyond the physical we're talking. Jesus is talking to have our mindset far beyond anything we can see, feel, or touch. It is talking about the spiritual. You know, teen camp has finished. How are your decisions following teen camp? Some of you came away and go, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up at this time. How are you doing with those decisions? In Mark 13, Jesus makes a great point. Let's go back there. He challenges us to really think spiritually. He says in verse 7, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This is a challenging point. This is a really challenging point. You know, are you more alarmed by the physical wars on earth than the war in heaven? I mean, it's a challenging thing. You know, what shocks you most? What causes the largest reaction in your heart? You know, Jesus says such things must happen. Physical war, these things are going to happen. But for us, is it the spiritual battlefield or the conflicts of nation against nation? You know, you can read Revelation, the book of Revelation, all about this battle taking place. All about the spiritual realm. You could close your eyes right now and know what is real and true in your heart is nothing you can see, feel, or touch. It's what you know to be true in your faith. That's where the battle takes place. You know, what's going on in your heart right now? Maybe it's anger versus love. Maybe it's lust versus respect. Maybe it's deceit versus truth. Maybe it's greed versus need. Do you see your own need for God today? Have you looked in the Bible recently? I'm not talking about, yeah, I read it when I was a child. I'm talking as an adult. Have you taken time to read the Bible? It's a very different thing. Oh, I read the Bible at school. Have you looked at it with your sin? As an adult, accountable before God. Because that is a very interesting and a different time. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have compassion. I don't think Jesus is saying we shouldn't have compassion on people. Like we look at Syria, we look at conflicts going on, and our hearts should be moved. I mean, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. We're not saying when we see physical suffering, we should just remove ourselves from it and say, I'm not a part of that. No, absolutely, we should have that compassion. But what is most important? Because Jesus says wars are expected. You should expect it. We should be prepared for it. Okay, seriously, okay, where's the next conflict going to come? Because there's going to be another one. And oh my gosh. You know, let me put this before you. Say you invite someone to church. And, you know, you're reaching out to them, you're helping them, and they get distracted. They make an excuse, maybe they're too busy, or they want to go out, and they just want to see their friends. You know, do we see Satan getting in there? Do we understand that that's a battle that's going on right there for someone's soul? That's a shame. That's a shame. Do we go to God in prayer? Do we fast? Do we tell friends, hey, please pray for my friend? You know, they were going to just make spiritual steps, and now they've just drifted away. You know, but then we get home, and maybe we put the news on, and we look at the news, and we think, man, it's so depressing. And our heart is moved more by the news of the physical world than spiritual dimensions going on. You know, our friend just said they're not interested, they want to go dance, your life is too busy, and we can be unaffected by that, but affected by the physical. Physical or heavenly, where is our focus? You know, I get distracted by this. I love this. Their question, these disciples. Andy Fleming put a question out at teen camp. He said, if you could ask Jesus one question, what would that be? And I went away, I thought, you know what, I'd say, when are you coming back? I mean, that would be it. I'd be like, this is hard down here. Just tell me when. Just like, is it soon? Is it next week? Do I have to go back to school? You know, what's going on? I mean, you know, these disciples ask that question, and the answer they get is more complicated than maybe they imagined. But it's, you know, we can get so distracted. I thought if I had one question for David Cameron, what would it be? Our Prime Minister. Would it be a question to do with his salvation, or would it be a question to do with his government? How are we focused? You know, Jesus wasn't a physical slave campaigner, but a spiritual emancipator. You know, he wasn't a liberator leading a revolution from the Romans, but leading a rebellion against rebellion itself. He wasn't a women's lib protester, but he just treated everybody fairly and equally. Jesus is not concerned with how your house looks, but how your heart is. Let us be focused on the spiritual and not the material. Amen. Let's move on to our second point. Are you asleep or alert? Are you asleep or alert? In this passage in Mark 11, here's some of the things Jesus says. Watch out. Pay attention. Watch out. I warned you. Keep watch. Keep a sharp lookout. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. Watch for his return. I mean, this is like warning all over it. Like, be ready. Be ready. You know, we need to be focused. We need to be focused on the goal. Not lazily or sleepily going towards the goal, but be focused on it. There's many tricks that Satan can play. Let's go to Ephesians 6, verse 11. Are you with me so far? Ephesians 6, verse 11. Just look at some of the Bible says on these warnings. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, what are some of the tricks and strategies that Satan can use? What are some of the tricks, let me just open it up, that he can use to take us away? Jay, lies. He's the father of lies. Loads of lies. This will be good for you. Go this way. That, it doesn't matter that you drop your standards with parenting or marriage. Just, it's okay. Just chill out. Lies. Right, yeah. You know, obey your physical needs. Don't think about the spiritual. You're tired. Just relax. Yeah. Right. Right. Thinking about this in a fleshly way, rather than getting in a spiritual way. You know, the devil prowls around 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, he says again, be careful, watch out. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's look at some more warnings from the scriptures. Because Jesus gets into some of these in depth in Mark 13. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's what we're talking about. Great, let's have a look. And are being gathered to him. We ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God and is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, and in every evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason God sends them a powerful delusion, so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. You know, there's a lot of spiritual dangers out there. The Bible talks clearly about this. False messiahs will come. False prophets are here today. You know, signs and wonders are around. But for what reason? I mean, it's interesting that Jesus used very little signs and wonders in his ministry. Maybe because of this. He used them sparingly. Maybe because people, oh, hold on a minute. Because we'd be looking too much for them. You know, Jesus tells us to be awake spiritually. And we're not talking, you know, this is a talk, we're talking about Jesus coming back. But we're not talking about sitting there being alert, watching the clouds. Okay, is it today? No, okay, let's look up. Maybe it's coming from the east. We're not talking about that kind of alertness. We're talking about, are you ready? You know, checking your faith that it's accurate, that it's fresh, that it's active. You know, that your doctrines are right. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15 and 16. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You know, we got to watch our doctrine, guys. How are we doing with what we believe? Are we chatting with people? Are we sharing our thoughts, our ideas? Are we being misled too easily? Are things distracting us? The religious world is rampant out there. You know, there's a whole thing about whether you should pray Jesus into your heart. The evangelical world suddenly kind of went on pause for a moment and said, you know, the evangelical preachers started saying, maybe that's not biblical, which we know biblically, that's not biblical. And, you know, that's not in the scriptures. And they went on pause, they went, hold on for a minute, yeah, maybe it's not. And there was a few people on different channels and different websites going, you know what, maybe we've got the whole thing wrong. And then within a few days, it's clicking again. You know what, well, I experienced good things from going this way, so we'll just carry on. And it carried on. You know, how are we doing? Are we checking what we're listening to, what we're following? You know, we need to be alert, not just for the scriptures and what it talks about, but for the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks here, it says, you don't have to worry even what you say at times in your life. But are you alert to the leanings and to the teachings of the Spirit in you? Is it in tune with the Scriptures? Are you testing that Spirit? But are you coming out and using that Spirit that prompts you, that guides you, that will speak for you? I can't concentrate if it's too noisy. I can't hear Joe call me in the house if it's too noisy, let alone the Holy Spirit that the Bible says comes like a whisper. Are you listening? Do you hear it? You know, what is it saying to you? What is it? What does it want you to say? You know, we've got to be alert for some of these things. We've also got to be alert for the opportunities that life gives. You know, to reach out, to love, to see a need and initiate, to show initiative. You know, we have each other. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Scriptures, but we have each other. You know, it's great just having someone to help prompt us, even physically. We might be dozing off in church, so give us a nod. I hope not now. I hope you're staying with me. But I'm serious. In life, we can be like, no, we need to stay awake. I mean, some of the camps we were on, Joe and I were physically tired. And hey, go and drink some water. Oh, you know, we've got to stay with it. You know, we'd be flying. You know, different things were going on. We've got to be alert. We've got to help each other. But are you getting the help? Or are you, as Tammy said, just self-sufficient? Yeah, discipling's good. We need to help one another, but I'm not really going to just open up that much. I don't really need it that much. Really? Really? You can stay alert through this life on your own? I doubt that. I question that. I mean, for me, I get sleepy at times. These photos, I don't know if you can see on the left, these are some of the teens asleep on a train in Stockholm. I had to make sure these guys got back safely. And they were just, at times they were like, boom. And then on the right, these are some of the teens at camp, just totally on their toes to play these games and alert. You know, these are physical things, but spiritually, we could just get sleepy. We could just be like, well, I'm okay, Jack. I don't know if I really need to share that with anybody that's going on. I can work through it. The person I'm sharing it with, well, they're not really challenging me, but at least I'm sharing it. I mean, that's not a good place to be. Right. That's legalism. We turn something that's valuable, one another relationships, into something where we go, yeah, I ticked the box. I did that. If someone asked me, did I share it? Was I open? I was open. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking heart to heart, connecting. You know, I got back from teen camp, and I had some very good chats. I mean, it was a great discipling camp. I think with the teens serving so much, a lot of their characters came to the surface. And it was just, we had some great iron sharpening iron relationships, and vice versa. I got some great feedback from some leaders. And I came away, and I think it was the night after camp, I had some wood in my garden. I was like, I'm going to have a bonfire. We had all these campfires. I'm going to have a bonfire. So I had this bonfire, and I'm just praying about my pride. Praying about my, I'm trying to almost, you know, figuratively burn my pride on this fire. Trying to think, well, I want to get rid of this. I don't want to compare myself to others anymore. I don't want to, you know, look down on anybody. I want to see myself as lower than people. I want to, you know, I want to not be self-sufficient. You know, etc., etc. I'm just trying to unpack some of my pride issues that some of the brothers were sharing with me. And the Holy Spirit, man, put this brother on my heart. It's about 12:30. It's about nearly 1 o'clock. So I text this brother. I said, brother, we need to hang out. The next day or the day after, this brother came round. And he was having exactly the same issues as I was having. And we just sat down and we were like, I said, like this. This is where the pride's affecting me. And, you know, I've had this argument with Joe and it came out. He's like, you know what? That's just so like, we're like, and now we're accountability partners on that. Now, he's not my disciple. I'm not discipling him. He's a friend. But the Spirit just put on my heart to connect with him. And it was just so fantastic. It really, really helped me. You know, are you in it together? I'm over the ushering. And we looked at some Old Testament passages on ushering, on being a doorkeeper and a gatekeeper. And there's like a team of them in the Old Testament. They had to stand on the door of the temple, not let anybody in with any blemished goods, not anyone who was going to, just wasn't a Jew, who etc., etc. They had some hard and fast rules on the doors of the temple. But they didn't do it alone. It wasn't like, you're going to keep watch on your own. Out you go. And the same is true of us. We can't just keep watch over this temple on our own. You know, we need to be alert. We need help to be alert. You know, there's a song we sing with Isaiah, and it says, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you tread. Because the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know, we have to be really careful what we're doing with our lives. We need some help with that. I think about some other examples. I think about the Olympics. Fantastic, the Paralympics going on right now. I think of Mo Farah, though. The ultimate Olympian this summer. I mean, I don't know if you saw him run. This is how he ran. Really running the race. Out in Somerset, country roads like this. Like it's rained so much this summer, these hedges are like massive hedges. I mean, you're driving there, you got to be on your toes. My brother's lived there for 3 years now. He's had two major crashes. One wrote off his car, nearly lost his leg, he said. I mean, like, you know, because people go around these bends and you can't see. It's almost easier to drive at night out there because you can see the lights. It's kind of funny. But, like, you're driving there and you think, oh, if someone came right now, what would I... You've got to be alert. You know, am I talking about running and driving? I'm talking about our spiritual life. We need to stay sharp. You know, teenagers, some of you don't even know what you're looking out for yet. You don't even know. You don't even know what's around the corner. You don't even know the runner behind you. Maybe you've not experienced anger before. Suddenly something, how do I deal with this? How do I chase this one away? You know, teens, are you asking questions? Are you getting advice? I'm tempted with this. I'm struggling with this. I'm even just having these thoughts. It's only a little thing, but I want to share about it. Are you getting that help? Parents, are you helping your kids get in those relationships? That means that will happen. Big brothers and big sisters. I appreciate people coming up and saying, who do you think with this team, with my child, who do you think would work well with them? Who do you think could help my son, my daughter here? How do you think it's going? Now, Joe and I aren't experts. We've got a 2- and a 3-year-old. But we serve in the youth ministry and we've seen some things. And I appreciate people just that willingness, that desire to look out for your children. What about mature Christians? Do we switch off? We got sleepy? It's easy to think, well, I've seen all the danger signs. Actually, all those things, yeah, I've seen them coming on me at some point. And I've dealt with them. And I kind of have a technique to deal with them. Be careful. Watch out. You know, I can lessen my attention to discipleship. Oh, how pride gets in. Oh, how it just gets in. You know, we got to be aware that we need to be ready. We got to be ready to meet our Maker. Often we say in Bible studies, we're studying the Bible with people, we say, if Jesus came back today, what would he say to you? Or we say, what's one thing he'd call you to change, like the rich young ruler? How about you today? Have you lost your focus? How alert are you today to spiritual opportunities and spiritual dangers? Don't lose your salvation. Don't let it slip away. It won't go in one big... Very rarely in a race does someone fall over and they're out the race. Gradually they drift back and back and back and they're out the race. You know, this is very real. Well, we say, I'm going through a tough patch right now. And I have been a bit, I'll admit, I've been a bit sleepy spiritually. But it's a very tough time in my life. Amen, brother, sister. Are you getting help with that? What are you doing about that? Are you getting an extra pillow or are you waking up? You know, we need to have a radical desire. Jesus could come today. How are you doing? Are you paying attention? You know, I appreciate one sister phoned me this week just for prayers. She said, could the leadership just pray? Talk to Bolo away. She said, I want to phone you. Couldn't the leadership just pray over this situation? There's something going on. And I just appreciate the one another relationships we have in the church. I think sometimes we can take it for granted. Let's not do that. You know, Jesus is coming back. We don't know when, but we need to focus on that goal. Not focus on anything material, but focus on the spiritual. Let's help one another stay alert, awake, ready and prepared. And it will be a great day when we meet our Lord. Amen.